This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
First and goal for the Bears. Williams goes in the zone. It is caught. Who else? Loveland. Touchdown.
Let's see if he's got.
I like it. Hands underneath. He's in bounds. Looks like a touchdown to me.
Yeah, great job just kind of creating a void in that space with the corner route. Loveland kind of leaks behind it. It fishtails the other tight end. Great play design by Ben Johnson. Here we go. Let's see if they can tie it up.
That was a call on Fox. They were able to tie it up, but the Bears did not get it done on Sunday. They lose 19-16, the final score. The Lions do finish up over 500 at 9-8. More importantly, the Bears finish at 11-6, and they are off and running the 2 seed as they make their way to face off against the 7 seed, the Green Bay Packers, on Saturday night, 7 o'clock kickoff on Prime TV. You can also can watch it locally on Fox 32. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, and great clips to get you set for what's happening this morning. Of course, Dustin Rhodes will take over at 5 a.m. You have your Mully and Haw pregame show. Olin Krute scheduled to join Mully and Haw at 7 a.m. TJ Edwards, we now know, is set. Bears linebacker at 8 o'clock. Brad Biggs will join the guys at some point this morning as well. Raheem Harrison Grody coming your way at 10 a.m. Anthony Heron at 11 o'clock. Dan Weeder at 1 p.m. And then the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner will join Spiegel and Holmes. Breakdown quarterback play. And he is a guy who knows something about going into the playoffs. He knows something about going all the way with the playoffs with a couple different teams. And, of course, the greatest show on turf, Super Bowl champ with the Rams. So looking forward to hearing Kurt Warner and all our guests today. And really looking forward to an entire week leading up to, hard to believe this, I saw Zach Zaman tweet this, so I know it's legit. This is only the third meeting between the Packers and the Bears in playoffs in NFL history. Only the third time they've ever met in the playoffs. You got to go back to 2010. We all remember that outcome. And then 1941. 1941 and 2010 were the only other times the Packers and the Bears met in the playoffs. And coming off of the last time they met at Soldier Field, this is the good stuff. This is what we sign up for. Also, this is what we want you to call in for. What is your mood right now as a Bears fan? This has been somewhat of a unique show just because we've solidified the 2 seed, right? Like they locked it. It was a unique way to get there. But now we've also watched them give up 42 points to the San Francisco 49ers. So defensively, you say, yikes. But the conversation coming out of that game was, but they do have a championship caliber offense. But then you saw this game and it's like, what was happening? Why was there such disconnect? Why did they look so flat? 312-644-6767. Do you have confidence in this team getting to the divisional round? Do you have confidence in this team getting to the conference championship? Or do you have concerns about them getting out of the wild card round? 312-644-6767. What a year it was for Bears rookies, albeit all on the offensive side of the ball. But Colston Loveland was your Bears leading receiver at 762 yards. It's hard to believe that the Bears, who finished with the sixth best offense in the NFL, did not have a receiver come anywhere near 1,000 yards. DJ Moore, 688. Rome Odunze, 661. Luther Burden, 652. Goes to show you where Rome Odunze was heading before his injuries, because we haven't seen him since the Packers game at Lambeau Field. He has missed a lot of time. And will he be ready to go? Still kind of a curious case of that stress fracture in his foot of hip. He'll be ready to go. Who's been the most impressive Bears rookie? Because I'll tell you, I think Colston Loveland is the obvious answer. I might have to go with Kyle Manungai. Now, it would be easy to put the stats of Colston Loveland up against Kyle. But I also look at a first-round selection. Yeah, somewhat expected that Loveland is going to deliver, right? Like, that's what you expect from your first-round pick. Not only that they are going to be hopefully the best of the bunch, but that they deliver sooner rather than later. Your first rounder is an immediate starter. And if he's not, he might be a quarterback like Jordan Love, who sits and waits for a little bit, or something went wrong. Injury or otherwise, are not good enough to get on the field. You expect that from your first round pick. Luther Burden, a lot of people thought he could go in the first round. Ended up being somewhat of a steal, and I think Luther Burden is going to be a beast for the Bears. I think Rome Odunze is. I think Colston Loveland is going to be. It's why I would, if I were a betting man and I were a betting position for the first round of the NFL draft for 2026, I would be leaning towards the defensive side of the ball for the Bears, because they went offensive heavy. Shamar Turner, a second rounder. Unfortunately, he got hurt. The Bears could certainly use him as a defensive lineman. They go Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, Ozzie Trapillo, three of their first four picks besides Shamar Turner, offensive side of the ball. But then in the seventh round, all the way down in the seventh round, I want to say, Grant, you may remember this. I want to say that he was the 22nd running back selected, Kyle Manungai.
It sounds familiar.
In the seventh round.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
If I'm not spot on, you can tell me on the text line, 312-644-6767. If I'm not spot on, I'm close on that one. That he was, I want to say, the 22nd running back off the board. And if you were like me, you were disappointed they didn't go after a running back higher. What was believed to be a very, very deep running back draft class, the Bears waited all the way until the seventh round. But guess what? Kyle Manungai had the second most yards per rush average of any rookie in the NFL.
So this Manungai was taken 233rd overall pick.
233.
This says he was the 10th running back selected in that draft class.
No. Maybe. I thought it was much more than that. But let's go with your source. Point still taken. You got a seventh rounder, and the only running back that had a better yards per carry average, Trevion Henderson, who went, what, did he go? Henderson go in the first or second round?
Trevion was a day two pick.
He was at the top of the second round. A pretty big investment by the New England Patriots. 5.1 yards per carry average for him. Kyle Manungai, 4.6 yards per carry average for Manungai. So, basically, return on investment of what they got out of Kyle Manungai, he may be my most impressive rookie. Colston Loveland, I think, is going to be a beast. Luther Burden is going to be a beast. These guys, I think, are going to be special in the Bears' offense. But, man, for the rookie class of the Bears, especially for Ozzie Trapillo, I mean, what a year for Ozzie.
Absolutely.
They're like, drafted as a right tackle, we're going to move him. And then they moved him, and it's like, this does not look good. And then Theo Benedict, comes in, but they just continued to work with Ozzie, continued to work him, and he worked his way into earning that left tackle position. Could not go yesterday. Let's hope that he can go on Saturday night. He certainly gave it he gave it a shot. He had a giant bruise on the back of his thigh. Like, I'm sure it was just more than a bruise or how deep it was, but man, that's a giant human being. You can imagine the weight coming down on that injury on the back of his leg. Let's hear from some of the defenders on this team. Let's hear from, actually, first, let's hear from Colson Loveland with such an incredible year that he had. Here's Colson Loveland on the team re-locking in, getting ready for the Packers.
How is this group feeling now heading into the playoffs? Two straight losses. Obviously, this one ends up not really mattering seating-wise, but you can't be happy about going into the playoffs this way.
Yeah. Like I said, we just got to go cut the tape, see what we did wrong, what we didn't do a good job at, and fix it, and just kind of re-lock in. You know, this is second season. It's kind of how we're taking an approach to it. So clean it up, flush it, and then we're on to the next game.
That's second season. Second season isn't long if they don't get much more right than they were on Sunday against the Lions. Let's hear from safety Kevin Byard, the mindset for the Packers.
This will be your third matchup with Green Bay. It's such a short stretch and obviously big, big games here. What's the mindset going into this one, having another matchup with the Packers?
Win or go home. Britt, like I said, I'm myself as a leader, I'm putting all my chips on the table. I'm doing everything I possibly can within myself to prepare, to make sure that we're all on the same page with everything we're doing. And that point, when we get to the game, like you said, we gotta be playing like we're starving for a victory. And that's really what it comes down to.
We'll hear from Ben Johnson in full in a moment in postgame. Anyone else have that thought during the game when things were looking really bad where it's like, wait a minute, the last time the Bears lost to the Lions, they went on to win four in a row. How many do the Bears need to win a Super Bowl? That would be four in a row.
If they can play the Cowboys, Saints, and teams like that in the playoffs, for sure.
Hey. Four is four. Especially with the way that it started at 0-2 for them to get to 4-2. But one of the things that the Bears have been very good at, speaking of the Cowboys, Grant, is somewhat bouncing back from losses. Right? After brutal, brutal game to open the season against the Minnesota Vikings. They get trounced. They get trounced by the Lions. But then they go on a win streak. They lose a game to the Ravens. They got another win streak that follows that one. So that's why I expected so much more yesterday, because they've been a bounce back team, and Ben Johnson has coached them that way. Let's hear from one of the leaders on this team, Grady Jarrett, how this team didn't lack a sense of urgency.
I don't think we have a lack of urgency. I think we got guys who are hungry, want it, work their tail off every day, and expect greatness. It's obviously wasn't in the plan to lose the last two. We came up short. But like we always have, I believe we're going to respond. And that's the most exciting part about being part of this team. But lack of urgency, I don't think is a thing we concerned with at all. Want to see how much, you know, everybody worked throughout the week and how much goes into our preparation. We just got to stick to the basics. Do what we do, but guys want it bad.
Yeah, that's it will be interesting to see the sense of urgency when it comes to the Packers, because the last time they played at home, there was too much. And you felt like there was too much, at least with the way that they collected penalties so early on. Like, remember DeMarco Jackson jumped atop the pile on the kickoff and he was flagged, and then Austin Booker, he got two of them against Jordan Love, the one that obviously knocked Jordan Love out of the game with a concussion, but then the one where he drove him into the ground where you have to roll off his body. That's a tough one. But there were so many penalties early on just because you felt like the Bears were so jacked up. Can they dial that back? I don't even like the term dial it back. I guess it just means play more within yourselves while in the moment, right? Because that's ultimately what I think we take issue with. What we saw yesterday is this is not a veteran-laden team. Yes, you can find a couple guys. There's a guy who may have turned in one of the best careers ever as a guard in Joe Tooney. And then you've got Grady Jarrett. Yeah, he's gone deep into the playoffs, been to a Super Bowl before. But Ben Johnson's never been a head coach in a playoff game before. Caleb Williams has never been anywhere near a playoff game in the NFL before. From the overall team standpoint, youth and experience, you were hoping to see them change the momentum a little bit, or at least change the play style and the way that things unfold against the San Francisco 49ers. It was Ben Johnson that said we don't want to lose two in a row heading into the playoffs. Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles, with the amount of times they've been in the playoffs, winning a Super Bowl a year ago. Yeah, you may not like it, but you probably have to respect a little bit more the decision to rest guys and say, let's just get healthy. The Bears are operating from a very different place when it comes from how they want to be playing, or the mindset that they want to have, really the confidence they want to have heading into that game against the Packers on Saturday night. Let's hear from the man himself, Ben Johnson, after the game, post-game. A lot of questions to answer, including the simple game plan, and did they not go all in going up against the Detroit Lions? Here's Ben Johnson after the game.
Of note, one was Ty Summers. He had a foot, and then CJ didn't finish the game there with a concussion. So, disappointing to lose that one in that fashion there. Guys were battling. They fought their tails off, but came up short, you know. So, we got to play better. We got to play better going forward. We got to coach better going forward as well. And, we're turning the page, though. You know, we got the number two seed. We got a home game next week. And we got a new season on the horizon. And so our guys should be reinvigorated by that. I know I certainly am. I'm looking forward to the opportunity and all that entails, and the opportunity to go 1-0 this next week. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and open it up.
And what about today's performance grabs your attention most?
We can't dig ourselves in a hole like that, you know. And was disappointed with the offense as a whole. I let those guys know that, and we'll be better for it. You know, we'll address it. We'll get those things cleaned up, and we'll be better for it.
Ultimately, as you mentioned, this doesn't cost you the seeding. What was your messaging for the guys?
That we're quickly turning the page here. Everyone's disappointed. I appreciate, like I said, their effort. Some teams, they rest their starters. We don't. We play football, and we felt like it was really important that we were playing our best ball here today, and we didn't get that job done. And so we're quickly turning that page, and now we got a home game coming on up, and there's a way to win this game, this next game, and that's what we're going to be solely focused on.
4th and 5 with 1:55 left, did you consider going for it?
Yes, I did.
Why did you punt?
Because we had 3 timeouts, and we felt like we were going to get the ball back.
And you guys had two games against Green Bay that were just as tight as you could possibly have. How did you feel about the way that series went this season?
The two games against, good opponent. And, I think we're fairly evenly matched. Got a lot of respect for how well they're coached. I have a lot of respect for the talent level that they have in that building. And, I'd expect it to be another exciting game.
And what was your sense for why the offense took as long as it did to get rolling?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's one that we'll have to take a look at the tape and figure out why that was. I didn't feel like it was one of our more elaborate plans. I thought it was one of our simpler plans, and so we knew a better job executing it and coaching it up.
Without having a chance to review it, Caleb's interception, what did you see on that?
Yeah, the guy made a heck of a play.
How do you switch the script so quickly to a new season? I mean, this is a brand new season.
Yeah, that's the name of the game here, though. I mean, we're quickly transitioning. We're locked in. The stakes are a lot higher here going forward. We can't afford to have a phase, one of our three phases, play like we did today. And so we're going to have to pick it up. And like I said, I get fired up just thinking about it right now, and I know our guys are too.
When you say the one phase, the offense?
Yeah, in particular, I was not pleased with the offense today.
When you say a simpler game plan, were you holding back at all?
No. Nope.
What were you least pleased with offensively when you think about it initially?
The points. I only scored 16.
How much time, Ben, do you even spend correcting this game because you have such a turnaround?
Yeah, but we don't know when we're playing yet, but it's a normal game week, and we always have plenty of time to make our corrections.
Ben, we spent a few weeks talking about Colston and the way he's come on. He's clearly become a big down guy for you. When you're in those moments, they're down, fourth down. What have you seen from him that's made him so reliable?
Yeah, he knows what to do. He's got outstanding hands. He works his tail off. He's usually the first one on the practice field. He's usually the last one to leave. And so there's just been an immense trust level, and his route tree has grown accordingly.
Swift's, DeAndre Swift's season was one of the big success stories for you guys this year. How rewarding was that for you as a coach to kind of make that work and get him back into this mode?
He had a great year for us, and we're going to need more from him here going forward. So I'm not surprised whatsoever. It's kind of, I think I've been championing that cause every step of the way. I felt from the outside a need to, or a desire to bring more into the running back room, and I felt like our guys were pretty darn strong. You know, both him and Manungai have turned into a pretty formidable unit there. So he's playing like he's capable of playing, and I think he can take it up even another notch, and we're going to challenge him to do so here going forward.
Defensively, was Sweat fully available and full go at the end of the game, or was he?
Yeah. Our guys were good to go. Yep.
With as fast of a start as you guys got off to in San Francisco, can you pinpoint just kind of what was holding you back in the first half tonight?
Nope. We'll take a look at the tape.
Then with that 4th and 5, what's the process there? Obviously, it's very quick of making that decision and coming down on one side or the other.
Yeah, those are things we talk about, and especially coming off a 2-minute warning like that. You know, we got plenty of time to make those decisions.
Did you have any method of monitoring what was going on with the Eagles Commanders game?
No.
Didn't care?
You talked about trying to avoid 2 losses going into the postseason. What do you do this week to flip the script and to get back on track here?
Yeah. I let them know that it's a new season. So we're starting fresh right now. And if we want to make the most out of this new season, we need to go on a 4-game winning streak, which we've done twice already this year.
Anybody else?
Good. All right. We'll see ya.
That winning streak's going to be a little bit more challenging versus the teams that Ben Johnson has beaten this year. And I shouldn't struggle so much with why there was such a simpler game plan. And Ben Johnson said it out loud. He said the quiet part out loud. He actually said it was not elaborate. It was a simpler plan. A simpler plan to me pretty much just means a lesser plan. And when you offer a lesser plan, the game kind of feels less important. And then you had the team take the field who played a lot like a game that wasn't that important. Now, perhaps there's very much strategy behind this. For example, did not want to show the Green Bay Packers something on film. The Packers also have 16 previous games that they can look at. I'm sure Ben Johnson will have a lot of new wrinkles. I'm sure Dennis Allen will have some new wrinkles. They're still playing football. There's going to be shifts and motions, and things are going to happen. But when you look at this game and go, why did the Bears look so flat? Why did the Bears look so disinterested at times? Well, I think it's very easy to see why. Because the game plan was not elaborate. As Ben Johnson said, those are his words. It was not elaborate. It was a simpler plan. All right. So Ben Johnson hired because of the elaborate plans or the creative play calling or scheming in the way that he operates, whether it's, you know, there's Grant, there wasn't one trick play, right? There was nothing creative yesterday, right? There was nothing creative.
They're not going to show anything. It's just like preseason games. You don't show your plays in preseason to go into regular season.
Right. So they played it as a preseason game. They played it as a preseason game, and it's exactly what it looked like. And now they have that as their last game before the playoffs. So is this a team that has the on switch? And was Ben Johnson just, you know, saying what he feels like he should say publicly that they're going to play to win the game? I think the biggest question I have out of all of this is why play your starters? If you don't want to show them anything, fine. If you want to have a simpler game plan, fine. But the simpler game plan simply tells me the game was less important. So if the game is not important, then you kind of feel like you're okay with the 3 seed. And if you're going to approach it that way, then don't get anybody hurt. Does C.J. Gardner-Johnson play Saturday night? With the way that he looked coming off of the field, it feels really hard to believe on a short week – a Saturday night game that a guy is back from a concussion that fast. Am I crazy? What did you make of the way that Ben Johnson approached this game? 312-644-6767. Can Ben Johnson do no wrong? Like, is he just been so good where it's like, if that's the plan Ben Johnson wanted, then that's the plan that we're going to have. 312-644-6767. What did you make of the way that the Bears finished the season? We'll get you set for all the playoff games coming up this weekend as well. It's coming up next on
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Score.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
So you have Ben Johnson jersey this morning?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that?
Got it made. Just kind of support for him.
There were a lot of things I found odd yesterday for this Bears-Lions game. Mainly the game itself did not go the way that I thought it would go. Then I'm like, why is Caleb wearing an Aaron Rodgers jersey walking into the game? Yes, I know the green's a little bit different shade, but at first glance, and you know how much Caleb kind of loved Aaron Rodgers growing up, and listen, some of his really good moments recently, like getting an offsides call and then having the free play and having it work out, like do that stuff about Aaron Rodgers. But I gotta admit, I found Caleb wearing a Ben Johnson jersey odd. I found it a little bit more odd that he had it personally made. And then with them facing the Packers Saturday night, I was like, why is this dude wearing a Packers jersey? It was a strange day. It was a strange day. 312-644-6767. David, I see you on hold. I'll get to you in just a minute. Some of the texts coming in. This one from the 312. Morning, Judson. If the Bears play like that next, it will be a wrap real quick. Yes, but I certainly do not expect that effort and that game plan Coming up against the Packers on Saturday night, 7 p.m. on Prime. It will also air locally on Fox 32. This one from the 847. The Bears look completely flat the first half on both sides of the ball. Yeah, they certainly did. That's exactly what Tom Brady said. 7-7-3 this whole season has been one lucky win after another, and you're starting to see that luck run out. That one cuts because I don't look at this season as luck. I think that there is too much that goes into it. Blood, sweat, and tears that I would ever say luck. But you absolutely would not plan to win games like this next year. Right? Like heading into the season, be like, hey, if we could just be within a score with 2 minutes left, that's how we do things. No. Nuh-uh. I'd like to see a team play from the lead and then have a defense, if need be, get stops late, right? Like that's kind of like how I'd like to flip this, because this team needs to be much better offensively in the second quarter. They just kind of stall out in the second quarter and they are playing from behind. Let's go to David with us in Chicago. I've been really, really curious about the way that Ben Johnson played this game yesterday with a simple game plan. David, what do you make of the way Ben Johnson played this one?
You know, I think the biggest thing, you know, I was at the game yesterday, you know, the fans ramped up, but just like you said, he took the words out of my mouth. They were flat, super flat. I mean, you know, I played some college ball back in the day, and just the plays that they were running, I mean, their offense I'm not too worried about, you know, because, you know, Caleb can be Iceman. You know, we got the offensive power. It's our secondary. That's really bothering me right now. They're getting eaten up on the slant routes. The easy, no penetration from the front four, you know, that's what's the scary part about it. That, you know, when you get a good quarterback, you know, and I hate to say it, you know, you get Jordan Love, he's going to pick you apart. Mm. I mean, we got lucky that last game, and I'm a hardcore Bears fan, you know, since 1976. So I hate to say, you know, talk good about the Green Bay Packers, but that secondary scares me. I mean, besides Byard having a great Pro Bowl season, you know, Jalen Johnson hasn't been up to the task. You know, no. None of them. I mean, Kyler Gordon can't stay healthy. And I think what we saw him, what, 3-4 games out of the year? They're going to have to address that. You know, so, you know, being at the game and seeing it, I can see Ben Johnson why he held back. You know, because, you know, the other teams are game planning, right? And they're looking at his plays. They want to see all his trick plays. So, but to your point, then why play the starters? Why not go for the third seed? You know, now we got C.J. Gardner-Johnson out. I mean, he's very effective. So, you know, like, I don't get it either. But he's got to have some schemes up there, because if you don't get that secondary straightened out, we're going to get torched.
David, what's your mood as a Bears fan? It's been kind of an interesting show. The postgame show was going through the same thing. It's like 11-6, second seed, back in the playoffs for the first time since 2020. But ultimately, how do we feel coming off of the Niners game and then what we saw yesterday with the Lions, right? It's like, where are we exactly? We're kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, you know, the luck, I don't think it's luck. Nothing's luck, right? Because a W is a W and an L is an L, however you win or lose. But at the end of the day, yeah, I'm optimistic. You know, I didn't really have high expectations of the season, you know, going into it, just sophomore season of Caleb Williams. But I mean, they've exceeded expectations, but, you know, us Bears fans have been hungry for a while. So now that, you know, we're a little pumped up and we've seen a semi-good offense, I mean, a better offense than the 85 Bears. You can't say that Jim McMahon was the hero. I mean, we had the great Walter Payton on the team and Willie Dalton, all them. But at the end of the day, this offense is way better than what the 85 Bears was, right? So I'm going to always go back to that defense. Defense wins your games. We don't have that central core, you know, linebacker or whoever it is, right? Like an Urlacher, or going back in my day, Mike Singletary, you know, and Richard Dent. Those were leaders on the team. And I'm not taking anything away from Edmonds or some of the other leaders on there, but Sweat's not a leader, you know, and there's really Jalen Johnson's not a leader. They're all role players. They're kind of like the Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, right? LeBron James. There's no solidified leader on that team, and that's the problem we have right now.
David, thanks for the phone call. As far as the leadership part, I think Grady Jarrett's probably got some great leadership capabilities. I think Joe Tooney, you just don't talk about your guards much, but if you watch the way this offensive line has performed this season, you know, it just I don't want to pretend like the sky is falling the day that we arrive as the number two seed. That's not necessarily where you want to feel, the two seed. But the problem is that when you don't have a pass rush, you like to think that your secondary can pick you up. And if you don't have, or if you have a great secondary, then it doesn't, or it can negate if you have a bad pass rush. They don't seem to have any of those things going as of now. 312-644-6767. We're going to hear from Caleb Williams after the game in just a moment. Just to remind you that coming up this morning, 5 a.m., Dustin Rhodes will take over. He will have your Mully and Haw pregame show. Then joining Mully and Haw today, Olin Kreutz, 7 o'clock. Set your clock to it. Linebacker TJ Edwards, what did he make of the way that they showed up yesterday against the Lions? He will join Mully and Haw at 8 o'clock. And then Brad Biggs will join the guys at some time in the morning as well. Raheem Harrison Grody coming your way at 10 a.m. Anthony Heron will give some great breakdowns at 11 o'clock. Dan Weeder at 1 p.m. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Can't wait for get his thoughts on heading into the postseason. Does it matter how you head into the postseason, or is it just all about that game plan against your particular opponent for that particular game? Kurt Warner will join Spiegel and Holmes coming up at 3 o'clock. Because that, you know, that ultimately is the question, right? It will be very easy, and maybe even by Tuesday, we'll forget about what we saw on Sunday. But all will be forgotten, and none of this will be remembered if they win Saturday night against the Green Bay Packers. What they did against the Detroit Lions will not matter at all. But it was Ben Johnson who told us how important it was to not go in with a two-game losing streak. And I guess it was simple as you don't want to show anything. You don't want to leave anything on film. As Ben Johnson said, it was not an elaborate plan. For a guy that was hired to be elaborate, for a guy who has made a career on being a really creative play caller, he did not want to show anything. Now, has he have so much up his sleeve throughout the entire season that this is all going to be new against the Green Bay Packers Saturday night? We'll find out. But I end it one thing yet again. Why play your starters? I would rather have them be healthy than have them play a flat four quarters. 312-644-6767. Caleb Williams answered a lot of questions after the game. Here he is. This is when he spoke to the media.
Cool. Let's get it going.
Caleb, Ben expressed his disappointment in the slow start offensively.
Yep.
Take on why didn't get Jordan until the fourth quarter.
Don't know exactly. Got to go back and watch. I think we came out a little flat, maybe energy wise, and I think we got to do a better job of that, having urgency from the jump and getting that going.
On the whole, what's your takeaway of today's performance? The way it was kind of seesaw.
Yeah, not good enough. Not good enough to win this game. Not good enough to win, you know, the upcoming games. And so we got to get better all sides of the ball. But speaking on offense, whatever happens on the other side of the ball, it's not something that we can control. So we have to control what we can, and we got to come out starting fast, being better, and you know, we'll do that here coming up.
What's the feeling now as you look at the postseason, trying to put these two games behind you and bounce back to wins?
What?
In terms of as a team putting these games behind you, now new season, as Ben Johnson says.
Yeah, it's something you have to do. It's something that you have to do during the regular season. Something you have to do now at this moment. We're going to a new season, and you can't dwell on the past, but you got to find ways to correct what you did in the past and through the losses.
Ben said the message is going to be you guys need to go on a four-game win streak.
Yep.
Twice before. Yep. How do you carry that message to the rest of the locker room?
Yeah. You get up tomorrow, you come in, you watch film, you do whatever you have to do treatment-wise, body-wise, whatever. We have a month left, and we need to, as a team, have that mindset, and we will, I believe.
Caleb, you got the ball back in a tie game. It's a place you guys have been a lot this year. What's your thoughts on the last series and just how it unfolded for you?
We got to execute. Whether that's me getting the guys at the huddle, getting at the line, making checks, whether that's protection, whether that's running the ball, whether that's catching the ball, whether that's, you know, not jumping up, you know, penalty, like it's us playing the ball that we need in those crucial moments. And, you know, we've been better throughout the season, and, you know, we gotta get back to that.
Caleb, the Green Bay series has been very interesting during your two seasons here. How do you feel about playing them in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, feel good. feel good about anybody, whoever, whatever position we were going to be in, whatever position we're in now. I feel good about us versus anybody, and I'll keep carrying that mindset throughout the weeks.
There's a heightened level of aggravation, obviously, after a game like this. How do you describe what that is?
I don't really have a. It's aggravating. It's frustrating. The good thing about it is, we're going into the playoffs here, and we got to find ways to be better. The focus has to level up. The urgency has to level up. The play has to level up. The mindset, mentality on the field has to level up, because that's what playoff football is.
Touchdown pass to Jade. What yep. Did you see on that play?
Yeah, safety bit on I don't know who was on the right side exactly at that moment, but safety bit on the receiver on the right side. Had Jade going over top, and just read it out. Went through my reads, and Jade did a great job.
If you've answered this already, I'm sorry. Just wondering, to get the franchise passing record, I know you're frustrated right now. Do you have any appreciation for this?
Need to win the game. Didn't want to leave it up to another team to put us in the seating that we wanted to be in. And I don't know what the case happened with that game, but we didn't execute the way we needed to. And so that number is the number, and so be it.
Trust you've built with Colston, and you've talked about it a lot this year. What did you see from him on that touchdown drive and both Cole there on the two-point conversion?
Yeah. What did I throw to Colston? The Cole one, great job scrambling. I ended up seeing him passing off the, we had a kind of a man play lined up, and the defense ended up passing off the routes. And so I got out the pocket. Cole did a great job finding space and just delivering the ball.
I think it was 12 targets for Colston.
Too. Yeah.
As a whole, what did you see from him in some of the critical downs, fourth downs early, third downs?
Yeah, I got belief and faith in all our guys, but just speaking on him is he's done a great job since we've been together, and we got to keep that going, we got to keep growing, we got to have this open communication that I always talk about to be able to have these moments where we can click and all the guys can click and come out victorious.
Caleb, you ran the majority of your plays out of that two tight end set.
Yep.
Today. Was that more of a matchup thing, or was that something that you guys have identified with this offense as a strength?
I think it's a week to week thing. We line up in and whatever we can gain an advantage in, and so we thought that was going to be our advantage, today, and we got to go out there and execute.
What do you see on the pick?
On the pick. Had enough space. Guys did a great job blocking for me. Saw DJ have the corner tried to get back, but he couldn't get back. And saw DJ cross face and thought he won. And then I threw him a one-on-one ball with the safety. And from there it just trust my guy. And those moments are gonna happen. And I'm gonna keep throwing those passes and trusting the guys.
Ben said this was one of your guys' simpler game plans. Does that make it a little more frustrating that you weren't able to execute the way you wanted?
Yeah. And I don't necessarily know what that comes down to, whether it's plays and, guys being confused or, mentality or what. I don't know exactly what. And I think, coaches will help us figure that out for this upcoming week. But whatever it is, we gotta fix it and move on.
What's your sense for just the slow start in the first half for the offense?
I don't know. I've got to go back and watch.
As a captain, what's your role in the next 24 hours or so of helping the group collectively get reset and focused on, obviously, what's the biggest game of all?
Yeah, use this frustration. Having two back-to-back losses. But use this frustration. And then find a way to get better. Find a way to put us – it doesn't matter if we win the game by one next week or whatever case may be. Find a way to give us and ourselves the advantage to be able to win the game and do that.
Have there been moments this year where you guys have used your frustration?
Yeah. We went 0-2. Frustration was there. We had losses that we felt like we shouldn't have lost. Frustration there and these past 2 weeks. And so, we're going to use this frustration. We're going to, get on a roll here this week, starting this week. And, that's the focus.
Do you feel like you were able to use your legs enough in this game?
Probably could have used them more. But, that's you can go back and figure that out after the game. But, you know, in the moments, felt good. Pocket felt good. And tried to deliver, you know, some runner's ball to the guys.
Caleb, Ben said he considered going for it on the last fourth down before. Mm-hmm. Did you have input in that conversation at all?
No. That's his decision. As a coach, as our leader, that's his decision. Do I want the ball? Yes. Anybody wants the ball, any competitor, any player in those moments, yeah, you want the ball in that moment, but you trust your coach's call, and I'll do it 1,000 times over, believing and trusting in his call, but also whoever, you know, whether, you know, is putting a punt team out there and putting a defense back out there. I trust him. I trust our guys. And, you know, if he has us on the field, I think everybody on the sideline trusts us also.
Caleb, where do you feel like your game is at? Where you have this frustrating game today, but the three before that, you're on a good run.
Yeah, I mean, felt like I saw it well today. We got to find ways to, you know, get a few more completions, keep the drives going. I don't know what our third down percentage was, but at one point I looked up and we were 1-for-7 on third down, and that's frustrating to be in, because third downs is one of the biggest downs, and keeping drives alive and alive. And so we got to be better. We will be better in these upcoming weeks.
Couple more. So you had a Ben Johnson jersey this morning.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that?
I got it made. You know, just kind of support for him.
Caleb, you and Kate were having a conversation with Lockers. What was the gist of that conversation in a situation like this?
Yeah, you know, you, after a loss, you know, you're supremely frustrated, and so, not coming out to win, you know, you it's frustrating. In a game that you feel like you could have won, should have won, and you know, from there, it's just the vet talking to the young guy, you know, trying to help me and figure out and find ways to help this team, help my growth, and, you know, for this team, but also the future of this team. Awesome. The Bears.
All right, that was Caleb Williams talking to the media. You know, you almost feel like the best way to describe the way that the offensive approached this one was safe, which is a really terrible way to approach a football game. But everything they did was safe. The game plan was safe, otherwise known as a simple plan. Ben Johnson wasn't aggressive going forward on fourth down, even though he was caught on camera mouthing to himself, "I should have gone for it." And then if you're wondering why Caleb Williams didn't run at all, I think he probably was instructed to play it safe. Don't get hurt. Stay in the pocket. Get rid of it. Right? Everything about this game was safe. If they roll the Packers, who cares? But to take a really flat performance and then flip that on switch for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs since 2020 and has a majority of teams that or a majority of players that has never been to the playoffs, that seems like an odd approach. Back to the phones, 312-644-6767. Brandon is with us in Morton Grove on the Score. Brandon, good morning. What's going on?
Yo, Judge. Thanks for taking my call, man. You know, if you would have told somebody, you know, how this Bears season has went, you would have thought it was fake, you know, like a script or something. Hmm. It's just so wild and crazy, you know what I mean? You know, the other caller called in and, you know, he was talking about the defense. And, you know, it's crazy. I had to call him, too, because me and my pops were talking. And he's like, man, the 85 Bears, you know, they got to you with like four guys. They were on top of you right away.
Yep.
You know, they had Dent, you know, the Fridge, McMahon, Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
So, McMichael. But, you know, for DA, I think he's got to either, you know, send six or seven guys because, you know, when we played the Saints and, you know, it really sucks that CJ got hurt tonight. It, you know, if it looked like he had a pretty bad concussion, he was like lightning in a bottle, man. You know, he was getting interceptions and DA was sending him on a blitz. And I think DA has just got to be more aggressive and gamble a little bit more. And, yeah, I mean, if we get our tight ends involved too, it's like, that's what Tom Brady had. You know, he had Gronk and Gonzalez. And that's what, you know, all these winning teams are doing. You know, look at the Patriots, man. They're crazy, man, how fast their offense is. But just wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah, Brandon, thanks for the phone call. I go back to that game when you saw a full Jordan Love in Lambeau Field, right? The two things that Jordan Love really torched the Bears. He was great on third down. And a lot of those third downs, Dennis Allen did gamble. And Dennis Allen did bring a blitz, right? Whether it was a corner blitz or safety blitz or otherwise, whatever it was, I think Jordan Love, off the top of my head, I believe it was 8-for-11. It was 8-for-11 against the blitz, 2 touchdowns. I mean, they had a couple quick strides. Remember the Bears kind of methodically marched down the field and finally scored, and it felt like immediately Jordan Love hit Christian Watson for a big play. Like that's what concerns me. But to your point, Brandon, what's the alternative? Is the alternative that you just stay back? If you can't get home with 4, you're going to allow him to camp out in the pocket. And that's the worst place to be in the playoffs. Did you watch the Seahawks? What was the difference between Brock Purdy against the Bears versus Brock Purdy and the Seahawks? Constantly, constantly had to move his feet. Constantly under pressure. At times, it felt like he never had more than 2 seconds. Not even close to it at times. Let's go to Bernie with us in Indiana. Hey, Bernie, what's going on? You're on the Score.
Hey, what's going on? The Bears, every other team in the NFL, all the games come down to the last place. I mean, if you watched them all this weekend, everyone that was on TV, you know, they all came down to the last freaking minutes of the game, okay? That's been the Bears all year. Just this game, they didn't win, okay? They won 6 of them before, you know, had a chance to win 2 other ones. That would have been 8, you know. I mean, so, you know, you harp on the game plan. You harp on the coach. You know, the coach has coached real good all year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and the Bears defense, frankly, it's terrible. You know, they have no pass rush whatsoever, okay? Their linebackers are brutal. T.J. Edwards is probably the best player on the defense, you know, bar none, you know, but he's hurt. He's been banged up, you know, so, you know, you get what you get. I mean, they've won with luck all year, and if they go to the playoffs, they're going to have to do the same thing, you know? It's not going to be any different.
Bernie, how do you think they're going to do against the Packers Saturday night?
I don't know. The Packers are going to be rested. I can tell you that. I mean, they didn't play any starters. Whole offensive line, the whole defense was all second stringers, you know. I mean, and, you know, and same thing with the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles didn't play any starters either. I watched that game. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was bouncing back and forth between the Bears and the Eagles. And the Eagles, their whole offensive line, everybody sat.
Yeah, Bernie, thanks for the call. I'm up against it here. Thanks for the call. You mentioned T.J. Edwards. He will join Mollenhauer coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, okay? So you will hear from T.J. Edwards. He'll have to answer for this defense a little bit at 8 o'clock. Olin Kreutz at 7 o'clock. Brad Biggs coming your way at 9 o'clock this morning with Mollenhauer. Our final answer, more of your phone calls coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.